Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was a football game?
There was.
I mean, it was a very boring game until the last 8 seconds broke out.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose.
Oof.
Hell broke loose last night in that football game.
That's why I got to stay to that final whistle.
Never leave a game early.
You just never know what's going to happen.
All hell breaking loose. Wait till you hear what some Chiefs fans had to say about it coming up at 8:30 this morning.
Man.
You don't want to miss
this.
This is insanity at its finest.
You don't. 8 o'clock hour prize, the Truly prize pack up for grabs.
Ooh.
There you go.
Ooh,
for listening. Ryan, make it easy to win.
I do like to keep it simple on everyone. Just listen and dial. Listen for this.
There's no accountability anymore.
Is that Bill Self?
That is, actually. That is Bill Self. Next time you hear that, be caller number?
Go with 8. Caller 8.
Caller number 8, 913-576.
There we go.
7610. Next time you hear that drop, caller number 8 is going to walk away with a Truly prize pack.
Actually, it's how many people the NCAA are going to have egg on their face when they find nothing in this witch hunt going on at KU.
See, we're still sticking with that one.
Time to chat with Joe Mays, brought to you by the Leia Center, located 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC.
What up, Joe?
What's happening, fellas? There's no accountability anymore.
No, there isn't. There's no accountability anymore, right?
Wasn't the drop, though, but you can call anyway. 913-576.
Joe's just messing everybody up.
He just made his own drop. That's good.
That's what I'll make you fun, right?
Yeah, screwing everybody up. Hey, what would you have done if you were out on that field last night and you were in the middle of that melee that took place?
You know what? If I can be honest with you, fellas,
yep.
I did not watch that game last night. I wasn't interested. Like the Browns or the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both not really good this year, and it doesn't bring too much fanfare for you to watch a game like that. So I didn't bother even turning the TV on.
All right, so you're not alone on this one. Nobody watched that game last night, obviously. But the last 8 seconds, the quarterback Mason Rudolph gets his helmet ripped off by Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett takes the helmet, smashes Mason Rudolph upside the head. Marquise Pouncey starts to kick and punch and destroy Myles Garrett. Benches clear. Fight on the field. Coaches are out on the field. A melee in Cleveland took place last night. If you're out on the field and another dude takes the helmet off your quarterback and smacks him upside the head, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing the same thing Pouncey did. I mean, I might even body slam him and then proceed to take his helmet off so he can really feel those punches. So, I think that, you know what, when something like that happens, man, that kind of takes me back to real football. And I'm just being honest. I think, to see those guys, to see the passion and the aggression and the different things that they're doing, especially during a time like that when it comes to those fights, I mean, that just takes me back to the old school football days, man, where we really, really enjoy watching. And, you know, some people may not like it, but, you know, that's just the aggressive nature of an NFL player.
You know, they're obviously talking about a year-long, or the rest of the year, I shouldn't say year-long, but the rest of the year, Myles Garrett going to be suspended from the NFL. Is that a fair punishment to make him sit out the final 5 games of this season
because of
swinging the helmet?
I think so, man. I mean, of course, you know, nothing like that can be accepted, you know, in the game today. You can't snatch off a quarterback. Matter of fact, you can't do anything to a quarterback. So, you know, snatching off his helmet and hitting him with it, I mean, that he's got to be lucky that he's not, you know, banned from the NFL, period, because they're not going to allow that to happen to their quarterbacks in the league today.
Have you ever been involved in anything like that? Not to that extent, obviously, on the field, but where there was like a legit fisticuffs where you were ready to go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, those games like that happen all the time, you know, especially the rivalry games, which, you know, the Browns and the Steelers, that's an AFC North game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you guys already know, I played in the AFC West, and every single time you play the Raiders, you're just about bound to get into something like that. And sometimes even when, you know, playing against the Chiefs, you know, you get into a little scuffle, the benches want to clear, and, you know, that's where the fight pursues. So, I've been in a couple different scuffles where, you know, you really have to prepare yourself for something nasty.
It is old school. This one seems very extreme, and I think that that's where the reaction has come in today, that the almost like the fighting is okay, Joe, because that happens. Emotions get up, but the helmet pulled off and then kind of the roundhouse with that helmet really could have seriously injured Mason Rudolph.
Yes, definitely. You know, I said it earlier about the, you know, take you back to you know, the old school days of football. It does, but then again, when you get into the situations like that where you can seriously, seriously hurt someone, especially a quarterback, a young guy such as Mason Rudolph, I mean, that's not acceptable. So, you know, the NFL, they're gonna make an example out of Myles Garrett, and he's not going to like it. The Browns not going to like it. The fans are not going to like it, but it's going to have to be accepted because of his actions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joe Mays with us here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by the Leia Center, located at 601 Walnut, downtown KC. Get your cryo on, your massage on, whatever you need. They'll take care of you down there. And Joe,
there's no accountability anymore. Like, yeah. If you're a, I don't know, Browns defender.
Yeah, like you put Myles Garrett in that cryo chamber today to cool him off a little bit, right?
Joe today, yeah.
I think I might have to send him a message, man. Like, look, hey, Myles, since you got the rest of the year off, you might as well come visit us, you know, take care of your body, you know, come and chill with me. We can sit down and have some conversations. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I think it'd be really good. how disappointed and angry were you to see that defense kind of take that step back the way that they did against Tennessee?
All right, so would you be surprised if I told you that I wasn't disappointed or angry?
I would say
yes.
I would say I would be surprised if you weren't angry, but disappointed, I guess, all right, fine. But angry, yeah, I think angry I would be shocked at, yeah.
You know what? I'm neither. I'll put it to you like this. Whenever the defense is on the field and the game is on the line, I'm optimistic as a fan. I'm optimistic that they're going to get the stops, that they're going to, you know, win the game. Like, you know, that's like every other fan. That's how you're supposed to think, right? But then again, I look back at, you know, them being in these situations over the past few years. Every single time they're in a situation, it's always one thing or another that, you know, that happens, and somehow, some way, they give the game away, whether it's a busted coverage, whether it's, you know, a missed assignment, someone tripping over their feet, someone missing a tackle. Like, these type of things tends to always happen when it's late in the game and the game is on the line, right? Especially when it comes with the Chiefs. So it didn't surprise me. You know, I was expecting them to do better, but them by them giving the game away, it didn't surprise me, because those type of things, it tends to happen way too often when it comes to the Chiefs and defense and trying to win a game at the end of the game. So, I mean, you know, I think they just have to play better early on so that they don't put themselves in this type of situations. And, you know, a lot of people like to, you know, put the blame and the ownership on the defense and, you know, they're not doing this and they're not tackling and different things like that. Well, you know, I would probably say that, you know, Andy Reid being the offensive guy and knowing that his defense isn't playing very well, they would have to do a lot more to keep that defense off the field. Now, granted, I'm saying this, and the defense only played 49 plays in the game. But, you know, during those 49 plays, they gave up 225 yards, right? So, they basically put themselves in a position to not win the game by allowing that offense to come out there and run the ball down their throat and then get them in a late-game situation where, you know, they were able to go down, drive the field, and score a touchdown.
Yeah, I've been saying it all week, and people think I'm nuts, I think, when I say it. Like, 75 plays is too many for the Chiefs offense to be running when you got a defense that can't find its way to get off the field. Instead of, you know, running a five-play drive for 79 yards, make it a seven-play drive for 79 yards, or a drive that takes 4 minutes off the clock instead of 3 minutes off the clock. Like, if you're just a little more conscious and a little bit more patient on offense, I think the defense gets helped out immensely by that.
Absolutely. You know, I was a true fan of the way that they ran the offense when Matt Moore was in the game, because they ran more of a balanced offense. They were able to get the running backs the ball by running the ball a lot more, you know, making it more balanced, making, you know, Matt Moore, you know, taking a little bit of pressure off of him. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Matt Moore is Mahomes. I'm not saying that by any means. But then again, you know, you don't bring back Mahomes and throw the ball for 50 times out of 78 plays. I mean, that's not something, you know, that you want to do and still win the game. So, it's great to have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but you don't need to showcase him every single play.
If you were on the field as a defender, would you be feeling that, or would you have been different than you are now as a fan?
No, okay. No, I wouldn't. I would hate the fact that they're going out there throwing the ball, you know, 50 plays out of 78. But then again, you know, the league has changed since I played. The teams, they were more inclined to run the ball than throw the ball. But nowadays, it's a passing league. So, you know, that's something where, you know, they're just going to have to take their bumps and bruises as they come. And they seem to take a lot of them when it comes to them throwing the ball a lot more and not necessarily having a more balanced offense.
Joe, thanks for the time. Enjoy the Monday night game. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, man, appreciate you guys having me on, man.
That's Joe Mays. Joe's appearance is brought to you by the Leia Center, located 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC. You can go see Joe there.
Miles Garrett should go get his cryo treatment.
Yeah, cool. I think something to go chill.
Hi, Joe Mays. You got the rest of the year off, man. Come on down.
Quite possibly. Hit refresh. Nothing yet, but I'm waiting. Office been open a little over an hour, right? You think I got to get to this?
It's 9/11 out in New York.
I think
that
they would be getting to this pretty soon.
Hey, Raj.
Paul in Olathe, your winner of the Truly Prize Pack. That was our 8 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue.
Oh, my God. Your risk it for the brisket is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
All right, next.
Well, now. This is some bull job, and you know it.
Fesco in the morning.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices each and every Friday at 8:15. One of us makes a weekend prediction. All you have to do,
actually get it right this week,
Monday at 8:15, is tell us who made the prediction and tell us if they got it right or wrong. And you can win
this
yourself.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Smokehouse Barbecue.
I didn't want to look at the paper. I didn't want to look at a rundown to see it because I want to hear it.
This is the most ridiculous thing you could predict. Like, you are out of your mind with this one.
That's really saying something, Bob says.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm not picking the Belmont or anything this time.
That is true, yeah. I think there was one last week out in California. Only two were euthanized after that race in Santa Monica last week.
They're doing better in horse racing these days. All right, I will handle the weekend prediction.
Please don't.
The Raiders are going to Raider Sunday, and they're going to lose to the Bengals.
You're high.
Raiders will lose to the Bengals.
You start the weekend early?
Bengals are going to beat our chests. We think we can win out Raiders.
You do realize we're on till 10, right? You haven't started drinking.
So Monday, we'll be talking about not only Chiefs and Chargers, but the fact that the division is actually over as the Raiders, who are trying to count up wins to get themselves to 12-4.
No, they literally are sitting there counting wins.
Are going to look past the Bengals. Everybody talking about the Raiders, how good they are this week. So the Bengals are going to win. Cincinnati will win. That is our risk for the brisket pick.
You're
Monday at
8:15. Right,
just remember me, possibly a dummy. Did I get it right or wrong? You can win Smokehouse Barbecue.
I think ultimately that prediction there would make a lot more sense next week against the Jets because I think they're going to lose to the Jets.
Of course it would, but I can't make the prediction a week out.
No,
I'm making it now.
No, you're making it now. It's going to take place over the weekend.
Wear it right now. Yeah,
you got to do that over the weekend. But
maybe
but
I can make the same one next Friday.
You're a big Ryan Finley fan?
Yeah, I think that prediction there against the Bengals. But that's got Raider. That truly does have like Raider loss written all over it.
I've had to Google that guy's name like 17 times. I can't remember.
Kyle Lindsey?
Ryan Finley.
Anyway, you said the Raiders are counting up wins to get to 12-4. I can see Gruden in front of the squad with like one of those boards that they have on ESPN. We get a W here. We get the W here. We get the W here.
I saw two. I don't even know who they were. They're two former players who were debating on NFL Network, and I just kind of caught it when I was. It was like a little brief thing, but they were going through the schedules of both teams, you know, and punching who they thought was going to win.
I saw that same thing.
And the one guy was like, "Well, I can make the case the Raiders could get to 12-4. I can't make the case the Chiefs could get 12-4.
How?"
Well, because the Chiefs are going to lose in New England, right?
Right. Yes.
So he was
I can make
the case the Raiders can go 12-4.
So you think the Raiders are going to roll into Arrowhead
so
and
they
win?
Can, they'd have to like win out, you know. But he doesn't think the Chiefs could win out, so he could make a easier case at the Raiders. I'm like, okay, stop. I can't.
Yeah, please stop.
I can't do this. So Raiders, just take care of your business by losing on Sunday. And
end this thing. Yeah. End the lunacy that has become. Oh, the Raiders are really up and coming. Why are you saying that? Stop. They're not.
Former quarterback Sean Salisbury dropped by Show and Vern. Of course. Show and Vern this week here on 610 Sports Radio. And looking at the Chiefs, yeah, they're not a finished product by any means.
They just didn't close it out. And block kicks and missed field goals and balls on the ground that end up with the, when a team scores a defensive touchdown and holds you to, what, four or five field goals, whatever, I think they kicked five and made four, what have you, and you turn the ball over and they rush for a buck 88, you're not gonna beat many teams that do that against you. Mm. And this was Tennessee, and Tennessee, while decent, they're not as talented as the Chargers. They're not the Raiders. They're not the Patriots. The Chiefs have some work in front of them, but they will get better, and they're no longer the clear-cut second-best team in the AFC right now, so they got some work to do.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with much of what Sean Salisbury had to say there. I think he makes a lot of good points. But, you know, the Chargers, I mean, we've got to stop giving credit to the Chargers, because the one thing that the Chargers have is million-dollar talent, 10-cent head. The real
Chargers are really
why,
good at underachieving and then trying to bail themselves out late.
But Philip Rivers is the leader of this thing, and I think Philip Rivers is right into that category. Million-dollar talent, I think 10-cent head. I think Philip Rivers loses his mind way too easily. He gets frustrated way too easily and allows his game to go south way too easily. And that's why, for me, like, against the Chargers, I think the key to them is punch them in the throat and the jugular right away, man. Just knock them out. And I think if you frustrate Philip Rivers early, Philip Rivers will start to get chippy, start to yell at his linemen, and everybody just goes, screw you, old man. We're going to let you get sacked. We don't want you here anyway. So I think ultimately the best part about the San Diego Chargers is also the worst part about them, and that's their quarterback. I just don't think he's mentally tough enough to lead a team, and that's why they're sitting at 4-6. And so they got a lot of talent, yes, but they don't have the brains and the ability and the composure to go out there and win games like this that they're going to play on Monday night against the Chiefs. Like, I got no doubt in my mind Chiefs are going to roll in there and they're going to own Mexico. And they're going to tell the Chargers, sorry, man, you tried to sit at the adult table another year and it's just not working out for you.
From Salisbury's perspective, though, it's an easy message to deliver to your team, though, right? Like, Tennessee did this to you. And guess what? I ain't seeing Tennessee walk through that door again. The Chargers aren't going to be better. No, you know, Raider, you sell that whole thing.
Sure.
Well, they did this to you. You can't let others do that to you. I think it's a nice, easy message to, like, spin back to your team.
Yeah.
You let that team do it to you. What about this one? This one's even better. I mean, the Chargers are scary. The Chargers are dangerous, but also this is their MO. Like, you can't stop. You can't keep giving them credit for being, like, a second half team.
They
How about being a first half team? They're the most underwhelming team in the AFC West, like, year in and year out.
Yeah.
Like, they should have a lot more, I don't know if hardware is the right word, but like, T-shirts, at least.
I mean,
they should have more division things. Yeah. They have been underachieving for a long, long time.
They're the most underachieving team of our generation, of this generation of football. I mean, you look at what they had, and every year, 9-7, 7-9, 8-8, 10-6, sneak into the playoffs, get blown out in the first round. They are such an underachieving team that they don't scare me at all. Like, I'm kind of done with the Chargers. I'm kind of done with that whole operation out there of thinking, well, maybe the Chargers. No, not the Chargers. Every year, they are what they are. They may come up and surprise you here or there every once in a while, but the majority of time, they're going to be an 8-8 football team because you got a quarterback out there who melts down under pressure.
Salisbury also mentioned kind of all the things that went wrong in that Indy game, or that Tennessee game.
Yeah.
And you'll hear from Patrick Mahomes at about 8:45. If it is a kind of turning point type of thing, a message received type of thing, certainly sounds like it from the quarterback. So encouraging things to come out of that loss. They might have needed to get it out of their system.
Yeah, it may have, though, Josh. I mean, I look at that loss and I go, yeah, that stunk in the moment. But ultimately, if it's used the right way, that could be the best thing that happened to the team this year.
Big story coming up, and you won't believe some of the reaction locally to it. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes in about 10 minutes or so. Feeling great, but also got to take care of those little things, and it might be as a result of the loss. We'll hear from him coming up, and you're never going to believe the reaction in Kansas City. Well, maybe you will, to the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
He runs up the field and gets out of bounds, but that is not a first down pickup, and it falls short.
Oh, we got reaction.
We got flags.
So.
And the Steelers, we got kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And I got the kick to the head.
He hit him with a, he tried to hit him with a helmet.
Yeah.
Mason with the helmet.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
Yeah, it does.
All right, boys, break it up.
That was the call from the Steelers radio network as chaos ensued, and hearing both radio calls. Chaos ensued because no one knew what the heck was going on.
And no one knew how it started because
the play was going.
Yeah, the play was like 30 yards downfield.
Right? And then suddenly.
Just went WWE.
There's a brawl in the backfield and they're going, what happened here?
Oh my God, look at Myles Garrett. They're kicking him.
There's Myles Garrett on the top rope.
Yeah. Well, you missed the first 10 seconds, sir.
What happened? Mason Rudolph's falling to the ground. Myles Garrett's trying to sack him. Rudolph does, in the interest of full disclosure, right? Looks like he's trying to take off the helmet of Myles Garrett as they're falling down.
Right, yep. He was kind of wrestling around with him.
Right?
Yep.
Garrett gets up, yanks several times on the face mask.
That's just boys wrestling. That's all.
Finally gets the face mask off and then doesn't stop there. Swings the helmet.
Right.
And hits Mason Rudolph on the head. The helmet-free head of Mason Rudolph at this point in time. Everybody jumps in. David DeCastro, pins him down, which was awesome. That was a pancake block if I ever seen it.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
And then Marquise Pouncey jumps in, and he's throwing some kicks.
Right. He starts kicking him,
He starts kicking Myles Garrett in the head.
Then starts punching him with the helmet on, which made no sense either.
Three players ejected. Garrett likely is going to face a suspension.
He'll be done for the year and should be done for the year.
Seems like that seems to be the prevailing notion, although the office has been open for an hour and a half now, right?
Yeah, I think they open it at
business hours for the NFL offices. We've heard no reaction. Let's get to this thing.
What the hell are they doing over there?
They don't care about player safety.
The video, pretty conclusive that Myles Garrett lost his bleep.
It's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the scrum, I appreciate, my team had my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Yeah. I do appreciate that part of it. That's on me.
He owns up to it now.
I think he was going to say I had to do a better job.
What I don't like.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Coliseum.
Oh, it was last night, but Mensa candidate Freddie Kitchens, the head coach for the Cleveland Browns.
Is he a Mensa member?
He's trending that way. Mm. This is old
Melba.
Yeah, he is Melba. Yeah, Melba Kitchens.
Like the toast.
Yeah, he is.
Let's bet some more Melba.
Yeah, this guy has lost complete control of his team and then has the audacity to say this at the end of the game.
Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did. But that's not fighting. That's not after the whistle. But that's between the whistles. Yes. I never condone fighting on a football field because that's penalties. I don't coach penalties. I don't coach false starts. I don't coach after the whistle grabbing somebody's face mask. I don't coach that. So I don't know what you're talking about with Indianapolis when I condone fighting. That's putting words in my mouth. I've never in my life condoned a fight. That's a penalty.
Yeah, Freddie Kitchens. I don't condone that fighting, but I want you to whoop their ass. Okay, Fred. You probably should have left that out.
You're losing something in the Southern accent.
Yeah, and the Southern accent doesn't help either. Yeah.
Is what it is. Because Coach saying, I don't condone fighting. I condone playing hard.
No.
I never condone fighting.
I condone whooping ass.
Did you say
okay fights? Football, you do condone whooping ass.
I never okay fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. I mean, that's football coach.
Let's get it on.
It's just being skewed by the Southern accent. He doesn't sound very southerly gentleman. Right there, that they should handle things in a proper manner.
I think at that point in time, you probably leave out, I don't condone fighting, but I do condone whooping some ass. Like that part should have been left out.
Whooping that ass.
Whooping that ass. Remember, who was that we had?
That's whooping what the Tide beat do. Whooper.
Yeah, where is that?
Ass whooper.
Do we have Freddie Kitchens talking about the Tide?
I do declare.
I'll see if I can find it.
Freddie Kitchens weighing in on the Alabama Tide. It's the Tide dude whooping that ass.
Mason Rudolph, after the game, asked whether or not he feels like Garrett should be suspended for a long time.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know. But I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good message for the kids.
I don't know if y'all can read that, but that says, ass whooper. What the Tide does, be whooping that ass.
That's right. Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens. Yeah, we didn't know he used to call in. He used to call into Feinbaum.
Be whooping that ass.
As an Alabama fan.
Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights.
Be whooping that ass.
Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did.
I didn't realize he used to call into Feinbaum.
Did you hear how he said ass?
My ass.
That's what I'm saying. That's it's Southern. The same thing. That's just
let me get that one more time.
Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did. But
be whooping that ass.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's below the Mason-Dixon line, ass is spelled A-Z-Z.
Be whooping that ass.
Ass.
Ass. Let me tell you something. I've been whooping that ass.
How big a boy are you?
But this snowballed into one of most amazing things on Twitter last night.
And I'm sure this was... I'm sure we weren't the only fan base doing it. I'm sure every fan base was doing it to a certain extent if you want to defend your quarterback.
Right, but Patrick Mahomes tweets out last night, bro, I can't even believe that that just happened. And Reggie Ragland quote tweets it and said, glad it wasn't you, bro. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Open the door for the Chiefs fans to weigh in.
He's our starting quarterback.
DC and Casey says, if that ever happened to Pat at Arrowhead, dude is leaving in an ambulance, bare minimum. Big Dave weighs in and says, let that bleep happen here and watch a city fight. Mozart the Painter weighs in and says, and y'all better FS up if somebody even tries that S.
Yeah.
1481 rush yards allowed through 10 weeks says, every person in that stadium wearing red better be prepared to sacrifice their lives for retribution if that ever happens to 15.
I'm not putting my life on the line.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Coliseum.
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
Referee says, I'm coming out of the stands. No BS. Here's Matt Zombie Eater Graham. Pretty sure if it was Pat, Chiefs fans would rush the field and take him out.
That'd be a good Hall & Oates, like, Halloween remix.
Right. Craig Venters weighs in and says, 210% sure Kansas and Missouri would have set aside all past differences and declared war if it were Patrick Mahomes. JV says, we'd have to prepare for a funeral if someone ever dared to try.
All right, boys, break it up.
Was that Josh Fournier?
Here we go. Clyde Milhaven weighs in and says, I swear I'm on the field fighting anyone who tries that on Mahomes.
I don't want to lie to you. Halfway through your question, I stopped listening.
I don't want to curve judge. I don't think guys named Clyde are starting fights.
Brian Burnett says, best believe Chiefs fans would be on the field giving all the hands.
Drugs have those people.
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
And Nico Rodriguez says, 75,000-plus fans would be running out onto the field. That's a fact, Jack.
Oh,
we got you at Patrick Mahomes.
We got you.
How long do you normally wait before you pounce on a guy?
I forgot you said.
Tyler says, if that ever happened to Pat, the benches better clear and kill that man. So, Pat, if anything goes wrong.
Don't worry, we're going to kill him in the stadium.
75,000 fans are leaving their seats, and we got your back on this one.
The words of Andy, we got this, I guess. We got your back. Okay. Okay.
Daniel, the salesman, said, I'd say kill someone, but I think his girlfriend would literally take care of it.
Don't leave it to the girlfriend?
I don't want to open the text line right now, but I bet Dr. Text Line's fighting, too. Let's see. Oh, no, actually, they're fake rough and fake tough. That's okay, yeah, good.
Dylan says, Chiefs Kingdom would be on the field if this happened to him. Let's be real.
He's our starting quarterback.
Someone asking how many times we can say the word ass on the radio. I can say it an unlimited amount of times.
Hey, ass face.
See? See how it worked?
And I'm going to have a hole in my butt.
I'm not getting another fighting football player.
I'm not either. I am not going out onto a football field.
No.
I am not doing that. You go out on the field, you're going to get your ass kicked, okay?
816 says Clyde don't start fights. He finishes them.
Seats 19 says, if that happens at Arrowhead, there's people coming out of the stands. Women, men, children.
I eat, breathe, and sleep football.
There's not men and there's not women and children and everybody. No. That's interesting.
Uh-huh. I'd fly to Kansas to whoop ass if that happened.
Oh,
Pat.
Yeah, everybody.
I don't think you're going to get here in time.
You land in Wichita?
I don't know what I love more, the reaction or the handles.
Yeah, that's true, too.
The Twitter handles are really good for most of
they're
these
good
people.
Ones, yeah. You Game suck, of, and you're on.
Gave up 400 yards or whatever rushing weighs in.
I got to be honest, man. Like, if that happened at Arrowhead.
He's our starting quarterback.
You're not going out onto the field, okay? Don't even think about it. You're not that's going out on the field.
It's my quarterback.
You would get destroyed, first of all. Like, wrecked by security for trying to get out there. Well, maybe not. Those guys are lumbering after you as you go out of the field.
Like the none red of those, jacket ladies
yeah,
going
to
stop them.
Make true. Enough to,
yeah, they
to
don't care,
stop.
Now they're going to be also fired up. They're getting the fight, too. They're getting in a fracas.
And a fuss. It's a fuss. And I think, ultimately, if you go out onto the field, you would probably be this close to like being seriously injured because a football player would destroy your ass. So that was Twitter's reaction last night here in Kansas City.
We got it handled. Not with our quarterback. Meanwhile, our quarterback, you don't want to go on the field either and touch him because he's about as healthy as he has been. A full participant once again in practice. Obviously played last week. A fully healthy now Patrick Mahomes, and that's a good thing. As he says, he's about as healthy as he's been since really early on. The beginning of the season.
When they played Saxonville.
And that was a long time ago, but he's feeling great.
I feel really good, honestly. And I mean, just going out there and being able to play the game, do the things that I've kind of grown accustomed to doing, of scrambling and doing all that different type of stuff, and coming out healthy was definitely a positive sign, and I'm glad that I can kind of keep moving forward with that.
So when was the last time you felt this good physically? Last week, going into the Jacksonville game maybe?
Yeah, I would probably say going into the Jacksonville game, just being able to not have to worry about the ankle or not have to worry about the knee, and just being able to go out there and play football the way that I've played it my whole career so far.
Oh, it's on now. He's healthy.
Yeah, that's the scary part right now. This dude is in week 10, week 11 right now as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and our starting quarterback is 100% healthy, and he's the best quarterback in the NFL. You don't want to have the best quarterback in the NFL at 100% health. That injury may have been the blessing in disguise.
Our starting quarterback, comma, who he'd come out of the stands to defend, fight, comma, is feeling great.
It's feeling great.
Maybe, just maybe, the
people be trying to rip their chairs out and throw it on the field.
The Titans game was the wake-up call everybody needed, right? Lose a game like that you shouldn't. Maybe, just maybe, that's the wake-up call. Mahomes discussing fixing now the little things.
The separation in the NFL is tiny. I mean, from whoever y'all said the best team is to the worst team, I mean, everybody can beat anybody on every single day. And we know that as a team. I mean, you play with these guys no matter what team they're on. And we knew that going to that game that they were going to be a team that had a lot of talent and they were going to fight. I mean, they're in the same situation that we're kind of in now where they needed to win the game. And so for us, I mean, as an offense, as a defense, and as a special team, we didn't execute at a high enough level. We all had chances to win that game. And we understand that now we're kind of at that point where we're in a battle now. And so we're going to go out there every single day and make sure that we can execute at a higher level because we haven't been this whole season and playing the way that we know how to play. And so, I mean, we talk about that as a team, but I think that's just the mindset that Coach Reed's kind of instilled in us and the mindset that we're going to have moving forward.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what right now, and this is going to sound blasphemy maybe to a lot of people, he would be a better head coach than two-thirds of the dopes that coach in this league right
Pat
now.
Would?
Yes. I mean, just listening to him talk about what went wrong in that game and how offense can get better, and clearly the not-so-special teams needs to be better right now.
Is that where we're going with now?
Yeah, I am, I think, because they're not so special right now.
I don't necessarily mind that.
But I think Pat would be a better head coach. Like, who would you rather have as your head coach, Fred Kitchens or Patrick Mahomes? I am taking Patrick Mahomes 10 times out of 10 over as whooping Fred Kitchens, okay? I just am. I am taking Patrick Mahomes. The Browns should try to hire him as the head coach.
Although
right
he's
now.
Just parroting his head coach, so you just have to really give credit to Andy. He's parroting his head coach.
But it's good.
Andy's actually giving the right message.
Right. Yeah.
Andy's delivering the right message. Maybe it's a little late because they should focus on buttoning up the little things from a coaching perspective a lot
sooner.
A lot sooner than this. But clearly he's mimicking what his coaches has told him and is emphasizing. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're both right about that, whether Pat's saying it or Andy's telling him to say it or however the case may be. When you look at what's going on right now with this football team, the offense is doing a lot of little things poorly. And when you do a lot of little things poorly, they lead to losses. And right now, the offense scoring at just 46% of the time inside the red zone when they were at 73% of the time scoring last year, that's an area where they can fix. Fumbling right now, one shy of where they were for the entire season last year, that's something that they can fix. Okay? Converting on third downs better, that's something that they can fix. Balancing the offense better with a run-pass ratio that's not so 2-1 like it was in that Tennessee game. That's something that they can fix. Fair catching a ball at the 2-yard line on not-so-special teams. That's something that they can fix. Changing up the snap count on field goals for the sixth consecutive time. That's something that they can fix. These are all little things. But when you do so many different little things wrong, they add up to losing a football game. You know, instead of a 5-play drive, make it a 7-play drive and score a touchdown. Take more time off the clock. I mean, we were talking about it earlier with the time of possession late in the game and the last 4 drives, 2 minutes and 6 seconds, 3 minutes and 12 seconds, 27 seconds, and then 23 seconds to end the game. Andy did not do a good enough job milking the clock.
He's got to do a better job.
He's got to do a better job, right? And then somebody texted in, yeah, he was up 38-10 in a playoff game and couldn't figure out how to run out of clock. I mean, that's been an issue that Andy's facing.
What?
Andy needs to get better at figuring out a way to put away games.
Or you're asking Andy to do something he can't.
Well, you're asking the defense to do something they can't either, too.
Run?
But I think... Slow play.
Get out of the game.
I think that's maybe where the quarterback needs to take over and say, all right, screw that. We're doing this.
I'd love to see Andy Reid run, by the way.
In the punt, pass, and kick?
Just in general.
General.
Current Andy Reid. I just want to see you start.
Like in a dead sprint.
I bet he does that like trot where he's like going the same speed as a walk, but he's just bouncing so it makes it look like he's running.
Like a race walk, step forward
like a run and then you walk the rest of the
way.
Like
you know how like when people are crossing the street in front of you and the little, you know, it starts to bleep or you know the little it's like, hey, hurry the hell up, you got 10 seconds, and then they do that thing where they pretend to run, but they're not moving any faster than the walk was.
Does he do that out of the tunnel?
Have you seen the Heartland race walkers around town?
Does he lead them out of the tunnel? I'm guessing you do that aggressive first step and then right. You slow and then everybody goes by you.
I don't think Andy's ever led them out of the tunnel. I think Andy comes out the back door. Mm. No, but seriously, like those stairs that go down, like I think Andy comes out that way.
Andy just appears.
Have you ever, like Vermeil used to run out?
I don't
onto
pay
the
attention
field
to that
the
stuff,
Carol.
So I don't know. Maybe somebody else does. I don't really pay attention to the intro portion.
I mean, he always
sounds
so out of breath just walking from the field to the podium. I can only imagine he's.
Or Andy goes, "Go get him, fellas!" and they all run out, and he kind of sneaks behind, and you know.
He's just there.
Yeah.
Suddenly he's just there on the sidelines. Like, how'd Coach
get here? I've never seen, like, maybe he teleports or maybe he rises up from the ground because I've never seen him kind of come through the tunnel.
Like, he's Michael Jackson at a concert.
Yeah.
He just, like, elevates out of the floor.
Elevates out of the floor, and then there's Pepsi and his hair's on fire.
I don't know. I think I'd like to see that more than I'd like to see him actually dead sprint. Well, dead sprint would be good. Like, just like a 10-yard, right? Like, Ryan, you're not saying like a long distance.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even need to see it. Like,
you just want to see the
10-yarder. That's all I need.
The initial burst.
I think he's got a good first step.
Good first step, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think it ends after the first step.
That is really interesting, though. Does anybody ever see Andy take the field at Arrowhead?
He just emerges, is what you're saying.
I'm
pretty sure I've seen this before.
Anybody? Bueller?
Someone says he bear crawls.
Like I said, I don't pay attention to the introductions. Maybe they
crab walking out of the tunnel.
Maybe we have video shot by the team or whatever where he leads. I don't know. I don't know.
I've never seen it. No, it'd be interesting.
Huh?
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
It's pretty phenomenal what he can do with the football in his hand, so nothing surprised me anymore. And if you told me the guy was at 75% what was going to play, I'd say, well, he's got a chance. So, you know, he'll be banged up the rest of the year. It'll be sore, and it'll bother him, and he'll have to ice every week and get treatment just because part of playing the position and being a tough guy, and that's what he is. But hopefully it'll get to the point where his mobility can, you know, extend a little bit more for him, which is liking. But that ball in his right arm, that there's things he can do with the football that most guys will never even be able to think about doing. And
that was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Sean Salisbury.
He's really doting the hell out of that.
He was doting on with Show and Vern about the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, 75% gives you a chance.
But he's better than 75% right now.
And now he's as healthy as he's been since week one.
How about that? Like, that's the scary part. The league has just been put on notice by Patrick.
Yeah, I'm back. Last week I was back. Now I'm back
really
and healthy.
Back. And I'm ready to go and kick your ass. Good luck, Chargers.
So I'm going to convert all those field goals into touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's what I want him to say. All those field goals we settled for before.
Touchdowns.
And our red zone percentage is going to go way up.
Someone asked Mahomes we're going yesterday the end zone. If he still thinks he's going to be able to throw a ball 100 yards in the elevation in Mexico.
How did he answer that?
I mean, he said he didn't know. I'm not sure. I've never tried it. I think I might be able to.
So, Patrick, you've never done this before, but do you think you could throw the ball 100 yards at 7,200 feet?
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Wouldn't you like to see that, too?
Well, yes.
I mean, does the thin air, does the ball cut through it faster? Is this like,
you know, lighter. The ball's lighter because the air is thicker.
So, is this like hitting a golf ball on the moon or something?
Correct. Yeah. It's like, you ever play golf at elevation?
No, I've not.
No, I haven't either.
Well, guess we probably shouldn't be speaking
on this. I'm sure there's people out in Colorado who play golf up there in the mountaintops.
Mm-hmm. For sure there are.
Right? Yeah. There are, right? They got golf out there.
I think you crush it farther.
I think you do crush it farther. Yeah, because the air is lighter. It's thinner.
Text line saying they dolly Andy Reid out like Hannibal Lecter.
Jeez. I need that visual, too. Oh, man. There's always some great visuals involving Andy.
Someone asking,
did I say bear crawl or bear claw?
Yeah, no, bear crawl.
They just set, like, bear claws every 5 feet, and he just, like, ooh.
I got
bear crawl.
Gotta be honest, that's what I was thinking, too.
You lure him out like E.T. with a string of M&Ms.
Yeah, ooh, piece of candy. Andy sidelines.
All right, we got to get Coach of the sidelines again. Who's got the
bear claws? Who's got the Reese's Pieces?
I don't get it.
Brian Flores is the head coach of the Dolphins.
Oh, very good. Now I know.
He is off the Bill Belichick tree. You may hear that in some of his gruffness.
Yeah.
But he had an interesting press conference. The discussion was about keeping players grounded.
I mean, got the Dolphins getting a big head over this.
Well, now that you've won two games in a row.
Good Lord, we got to ground these guys.
You got yourself a winning streak.
You
got to
keep guys in check, right? That's where the Dolphins are.
I tell you what, we won these two in a row. We got to make sure everybody stays in check around here.
You can't get too high.
Can't get too low.
Yeah.
Can't get too low.
Yeah.
Focus on the next game at hand.
There you go,
Brian. Thanks, Coach.
Brian Flores.
Forget about everything you've done. Forget about the last couple games, or you forget about any success you had. You know, I know he's getting, you know, I mean, I don't know much about social media, but people are saying he's, you know, this or that, or, you know. And, yeah, you know, your friends, your family, they're going to congratulate you. That's great. But you, again, you know, you start listening to all that too much, and there's just, I don't know, maybe it's 1 minute less on one more text and 1 minute less on film. So, you know, you got to try to put that away and focus on the task at hand, which is preparing for Buffalo and the receivers they have and our scheme and trying to get that right so that we can string them together, because the world will make you think that, you know, you're this superstar. And
nobody's making it.
Maybe you are, but it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is the guys in that room, in that locker room, I should say. And that's funny to you, Safed? Is it? Why?
I don't know. You
We asked about Shaq Conley a couple weeks ago. I mean, we didn't ask about Shaq Conley a couple weeks ago. He came up unsolicited. And so it's nice to hear, you know, you want your players to kind of keep that, an even head about it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Okay.
So this guy's up here as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins saying that the key to success is, you know, staying off
more
social
video,
media and more
less,
video. Yeah,
less right. Instagram.
And how long are we going to get to where coaches can't continue to go, I don't know anything about this social media stuff? This crap's been around for almost two decades now.
Yeah, but they're above wasting their time with that.
But
I mean,
you know what?
You and I and the regular human beings that waste way too much time with it.
Right.
They're above that.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know about this. So that makes you sound ignorant, okay? And so he's out there saying, you know, stay off social media, stay off text, watch more film. That's going to make you better, and don't get too big ahead of yourself and all that. And so this reporter starts laughing.
And
in there.
Before the game, don't do any stuff that will weaken the legs.
Yeah, right.
You're going with that too?
Yeah, you got to go with that one. So the reporter's laughing. That funny to you, Smalls? Yeah, actually, it is funny to me, right? Because you're 2-7. Nobody's praising anybody. The guy had a nice game. Nobody's saying he's going to be the next, you know, MVP of the league or something like that. I mean, like Flores is acting like they have arrived down there in Miami. They all this praise coming in for somebody you never heard of before. So this reporter starts laughing. Like, I probably would have done the same thing. They're like, wait a second here. You're 2-7 and you're playing Buffalo. Like who are these people that are making you guys out to be something special? Where is all this coming from? It sounds a lot like something the Patriots would do, like they did last year, where nobody believes in us. Where was that statement made that nobody believed in you, right? Who's out there claiming anybody on the Miami Dolphins is the next great coming of, you know, Jim Brown or Barry Sanders or Walter Payton? I don't think anybody is out there saying that. Maybe his mother said he had a nice game because she watched it. Nobody else did. But ain't nobody out there praising some running back for the Miami Dolphins this week.
I don't even know his name.
That's exactly right. I don't either.
After they traded, what was that other guy's name? Drake?
Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, that's the one.
But instead of out there searching for your name on Google, you could be looking at third down efficiency.
Yeah, you could be doing
in
stuff.
In the video room.
Yeah.
And that's where I want you to be.
That's right.
Flores also coached for the guy who said my face.
Yeah, book face.
Or book face or whatever.
Space face.
Whatever it was, Belichick tried to lie about.
Text line suggesting Brian Flores also tells him women weaken legs.
Yeah. Women weaken
right.
legs.
It's true. That's what I said, yeah. He's going with that too. He's that coach preaching it before the World Cup.
There you go.
Be doing stuff.
Twitters and the Insta space and my face.
Ryan Flores.
Thank you, coach.
Two wins.
Yeah. Got to stay off the social media. You can't look at all the praise that we're getting right now.
I don't disagree with anything he had to say.
But you're 2-7, man, and you were tanking. Okay.
I'm ready.
Nobody's out here.
If anything, there should be
Brian Flores is a much better coach than the Miami Dolphins have led to believe.
Based on what?
They traded away all of his players. The fact that he's been able to win two games is actually pretty incredible.
He probably needs them on social media more because they're screwing up the plan.
Yeah, they are. That is true. Like Cincinnati, the Giants, like there's a lot of things ahead of
you. I think guys should go read everything that there is being said about them right now. We need them to feel better about themselves.
That's right. We need them to watch less video. We got to get that number one pick.
He's got two wins, and this isn't how it's supposed to go down.
They're just screwing up the plan.
Somebody in the Miami Dolphins front office just trying to plot against Ryan Fitzpatrick now.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Beware of fake news and the source. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.